Hi, yes, I'd like to leave a message for Cersei Lannister. I'm calling from the Republican Party. I was wondering what you were doing in about, 2.5 years. Just kidding, folks. You're listening to Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans. A little light humor there, based on the fact that we are apparently being ruled by a lunatic in this country.
Mm-hmm.
But a little more of that as soon as I finish the intros. I, of course, am Stephen Van Patten, a.k.a. SVP, and with me, as always, is...
Mark Abbott.
And...
Kurt Just.
Okay, normally we're supposed to talk about horror, science fiction, and fantasy, but...
Apparently we're living it.
We're living it. We are in a dystopian fucking nightmare.
Amazon would never have thought about this shit. Amazon got Man in the High Tower, and we got this motherfucker.
Yeah.
That's some shit.
Yeah, I'll script that show. All right, you got this
one. We don't have to script it. It's
writing itself.
Yeah, you know what? I shit you not. Every time I hear some new tweet or some new shit this nigga does, I'm like... Wow. Did anybody ever get to write this? This is new material. This is for real.
Well, is this
stranger than fiction?
Horrible thing is, like everything else now, this is permanently documented.
Yes.
For all to see for the however long our civilization, when 100 years from now, when we're all gone... And aliens are sifting through the detritus.
Yeah.
And they're going to be like, who is in charge?
Right.
They did what?
Right.
They said they were arguing over skin color for 300 years? Really?
Yeah.
It's like the shit that's going to... And we're all obviously mortified and ashamed. And if you're not, I don't know why you're listening to this show or how you're getting this show. Mm. So I'm not even going to speculate on...
Well, they're not bad people.
That's the problem. Yes, they are. They are bad, and they are embracing their own ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
As anyone who knows me personally knows, I've been ranting on Facebook quite heavily the past couple of days, which is bad because, I'm trying to appear fair and balanced some days.
Dropping truth bombs is fair and balanced.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You can't be too fair and balanced when you're like, the Romans did have slaves.
right.
That's just a truth bomb. I'm sorry.
I mean, it's all quite painful and uncomfortable. And while we still have some wine left, let's give it up to poor young lady.
Heather Heyer.
Yes.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
Should never happen to you.
We all talk about American heroes, like who's an American hero, and it's like Navy SEALs are American heroes, John Elway was an American hero, Muhammad Ali was an American hero. Here's a woman who went to protest Nazis and fascism and ended up getting killed.
Yes.
And... not to beleaguer the obvious, this was a white woman.
Right, right.
This shit has gotten real.
Yeah.
It is 2017, and we got Mississippi Burning 2.0 right now.
Well, let's be honest, it's been gotten real.
True.
It's been gotten real for a while.
True.
I mean, this is, and it, you know what? It's kind of like, and please forgive me, look. I don't like the idea that this young lady lost her life.
Mm-hmm.
But I made this comment one time to a coworker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Blood gotta be spilt for motherfuckers to wake up.
Yeah.
It's sad, but true. Such a sad fucking state of affairs.
Sad, but true.
The civil rights was doing what they was doing and getting, and you know what I mean? But it didn't get hot until those peaceful protesters was getting shot at, dogs attacking them,
hoses,
you know, Medgar Evers getting shot. And, you know, that's when you really start seeing this is getting real, and we're getting tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? People are dying, and they're dying because motherfuckers will not fucking listen.
Mm-hmm.
People told you, yo, Trump is a bad egg. He's going to start some shit that you keep calling Obama on. Obama ain't trying to do nothing but fucking bring people together. This nigga here is breaking us apart.
Yes.
And you ain't hearing him. And now you want to hear this young lady had to lose a life for your motherfuckers to really start denouncing this motherfucker? Really? That's just a sad state of affairs.
It took that. It really did. And there's a few different angles to hit here. And first, let's keep it real. The Republican Party, since Nixon.
Yeah. Yes.
Let's keep it, you know, keep it 100.
The war on drugs, yes.
Since Nixon, the Republican Party's been wearing us out.
Yeah.
Okay? And yes, war on drugs. But the great Nino Brown, a.k.a. Wesley Snipes, through his script, brought up a very good point. Ain't no poppy seed, ain't no poppy fields in Harlem?
No.
How is this shit happening?
Yeah.
How, guns and drugs somehow, magically in these black neighborhoods. That's why, honestly, I'm upset at that TV show Snowfall.
Mm. Oh, what's...
Snowfall is basically about a dude epidemic. Who becomes... It's about the crack epidemic, but it sort of heroes... It sort of presents a hero's journey, but it's a dude that becomes a crack dealer. And I haven't really watched the episodes.
Right.
Like, because it's like they upset me to... They come on after the strain. Okay. So, you know, being what we do and who we are, you know, I'm keeping track of the strain and I'm watching Game of Thrones.
Right,
and,
right, right.
You know,
right.
That's my Sunday lineup.
Right,
you know?
Right, right, yeah.
But then I end up catching bits of this thing, Snowfall. I hear anything about the government and their little side deal with Noriega.
Right, yeah.
You don't hear any of that.
Mm.
You just got this one brother who slowly gets seduced by the money.
Uh-huh.
And then it becomes his, and they present it almost as a hero's journey.
Wow. Okay.
You know, and I'm just kind of like.
It's almost like Scarface.
Yeah, to a degree.
How they
glorified this guy.
Yeah.
Right.
And people when you know I hated that movie. I hated that character. Right. I still hate him to this day. But you'll see people, you go in the cat's house and they got
glorifying at you
like gold rugs
yeah.
with his image on there. And it's like, I know he's a fictitious character, you know, he's not a real person, but I mean,
mm-hmm. you know,
it's
well, like,
no, I feel you on that. That's for real. The Wire did some shit that you cannot do. That Snowfall is trying to like, oh, yo, The Wire did that. No, mm-hmm. The Wire did not do that.
Right.
The Wire encompassed the entire culture of the drug of America.
And that's why I didn't have a problem with The Wire.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, because you saw it.
Never had a problem with The Wire.
You saw it from all sides. You saw how, mm-hmm. you know, but from what you're telling me, it's Scarface as a series.
Right.
Yeah.
And
because for whatever reason,
yeah.
you know, there's this belief that you know, if you don't slave away making an earning, or if you are slaving away making an earning, you're a sucker. You should be out there.
You know, I mean, as old as we are, all three of us grew up around all that. Three of us, mm-hmm. I'm sure, had dudes that are either still in jail and we may see them soon,
mm-hmm.
or cats that are over in Cypress Hill Cemetery that are never coming back.
Right.
And all three of us had to make that choice back in the day.
Right.
I'll never forget. Friend of mine, I'm on my way to class.
Yeah.
Dude drives up with 3 girls in the car. Yo, what's up? Yo, we going to D.C. Check out Money Gym, son. Let's go. And I'm like, I done paid all this money for this class. My mom's going to fucking kill me. Well, and I didn't go, obviously. But it was. This is the shit that was dangled in front of all of us. But it shouldn't have. It shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Right. No, it shouldn't.
Okay. Everybody should get a normal childhood. Everybody deserves some kind of normal childhood. And to a degree, my mother was actually very good at kind of shielding me from shit. And I don't even. And the thing is, it's taken me to get to the age that I am to appreciate like what my mother did.
Yeah.
And you know, and getting back to, you know, just the general racial climate, you know, my mother had the talk with me. And when I say the talk, I'm talking about when a policeman says, you know, comes up to you, you do A, B, C, D. There's a list. You know, and it varies depending on, you know, the parent's personal experience. But if you are a person of color in this country, you are going to have that talk with your child. Big ups to Procter & Gamble, by the way, for that ad that they put out recently.
I heard about that.
Amazing. Amazing. And you know who was two through?
Who?
Racist.
Yeah.
Two through.
Because
somebody said, hi, racist. Here's Mirror. Mirror, meet racist. You two haven't talked in a while. You know?
Nah, they keep thinking it's Stonewall Jackson in the Mirror. But, oh, you look different.
Let's talk about the statue thing for a minute. Now, Mark, before we got kicking, you brought up some interesting shit about Robert E. Lee that...
Right. Not Bruce's brother.
Not to be confused with Bruce's brother.
Right.
Robert E. Lee... What's Bruce Lee's favorite drink, by the way? Water! So...
We're going to hell for that.
That's racist.
Super racist.
Yes. Yeah.
But... but Robert E. Lee, you did a little... deep dive.
Yeah.
And found out some interesting shit, and please.
Well, you know... The thing that was confusing me is because I didn't know much about the man. And I know a lot of times when we get into these altercations with people, people are screaming things, and then later on you go and you read about it, and then you go, oh, shit, I really didn't know that's what, you know. So I really wanted to know what the big deal was about this man. And I found out, you know, one, he was, they considered him a wonderful tactician. He graduated from West Point. He was a hell of a military man.
Right.
Like Hannibal of the South.
And but he the interesting thing is that he did not believe in the secession of the South from the Union. And he was against that.
Okay.
Yet because he was from Virginia, he chose to fight on the side of the Confederacy.
Right.
You know, we know that he surrendered to Grant. One of the major battles that he lost. But when he went home, his stepfather was dying, and he was plantation owner, and the plantation that they owned was in Arlington. Which is where the Arlington National Cemetery is. And he told him, upon my death, you are to emancipate the slaves. And when the stepfather died, the slaves were literally ready to leave, and Lee was like, no, I'm not. And through a series of letters that he sent to his sons, it appeared that he didn't believe, he believed in the institution, and I use the quotations, of slavery. And he believed that the slaves would be free by the hand of God at God's time. But he himself didn't subscribe to the ideology of slavery, but he believed that black people could be, I guess the best word I could use is of some kind of value to society if given an opportunity to I don't know.
Become civilized?
No, he didn't. He never said civilized. He never thought of us, from what I gathered, he didn't think of us as savages, but he thought that if we were properly put into some kind of system, we could be a benefit to society.
Right.
So he had mentioned about training black men to be soldiers, and the one thing that he knew how to do. And all of this to say, what confused me about this is that the white nationalists want to keep this statue up. Yet, apparently, the man didn't believe what you believe. In a very vague sense, it's sort of like, I don't believe in slavery, but I have to accept slavery because that's part of who I am. And you know, if I could free the slaves, I would, but I'm not because I can't because. You know, I mean, I don't believe in the, but you know, it's an institution.
That literally sounds like some animaniac shit.
And
right,
and who am I to right, to stop? You know, who, now if anybody else want to do that, then that's up to them.
Wow.
And they said that he became even more popular after his death in the North for his quote unquote abolitionist thoughts. All this to say is that if that's true,
right,
then there's something inherently wrong with you screaming about we don't like black people, we don't like Jews, we don't like gays, but we want to keep up a statue of a man who
was at best ambivalent about how he really felt.
Right.
And so, once I read that, then I got a headache. Because it's just like, I don't understand the point of any of this screaming and hollering in the street by you guys.
Uh-huh.
Because now the question, because I know not too long ago they found, supposedly, at Monticello, what's her name's, the woman that Jefferson was having the affair with.
Hennings?
Yes.
Hennings, right.
They found her quarters or something.
Yes.
Not too
Sally
far.
Hennings, yeah.
So, and then people were starting to say, well, you know, what about the founding fathers? They owned slaves and this, that. And a lot of them thought the same way. Was like, I don't really believe in slavery, but because I live here,
all right,
I've got
to. Well, let's see if we can break that down.
It's still a false equivalency.
It is.
It's super false.
It
absolutely.
Is.
100%.
No, it is.
100%.
I'm not at all condoning that thought. But where it becomes crazy is that.
Oh, let's use the proper lexicon for that. Where it becomes true fuckery.
Yes. is when you're saying to everyone else, I am a pure racist, but the people that I hold dear to my heart are people who, if they were around today, would probably
tell me to shut the fuck up and go sit down somewhere.
Yeah.
That's called I don't read.
Mm.
Oh, I thought it was called appropriation.
No, that's when they get cornrows.
Okay.
Hashtag Katy Perry.
Katy Perry, all right.
look.
Appropriation, yes.
Look. Man. First of all, thank you for that. That's good because I tell you what, it often heartens me and hardens me at the same time when we as folks of color will go out and do the research. Because here's the thing, and I touched on this on Facebook, our public school system is failing us in the sense that no matter what school you go to, whether it be, you know, predominantly black, predominantly white, predominantly Latino, when it comes time to teach people about what has actually happened, the genocide of the Native American, the enslavement of Africans that later, you know, ended up becoming what we now consider African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The Japanese internment.
Yes.
The Chinese people working the railroads.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
All of that stuff gets, like, here's the thing. And I didn't go to high school with you two, but I specifically remember learning World War II.
Yes.
Up and down. Like, when I got out of high school, I knew World War II like the back of my hand. Mm. Back of my hand. Because guess what?
Yeah.
The United States was the hero.
Oh, yes.
In that story, in that narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you start getting into Korea, Nam, and all this other stuff, oddly enough, the school year is almost over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you glaze over all this other shit. MacArthur and all of that,
right?
The real causes of Vietnam,
mm-hmm.
Muhammad Ali's, and I'm sorry, Muhammad Ali's stance against the war, that should be taught.
Yes,
that should be taught in classes. His speech, the one he gives, where he's talking about how, you know, Viet Cong ever did nothing to me.
Mm-hmm.
My oppressor is here.
Yes.
That should be taught in class. And the list goes on and on. When it comes time to actually learn black history, what do you get? Crispus Attucks, hero because he's dead.
Because he's right. He stood up. He got shot first.
Because he got shot first. Right.
He got shot first.
Like, thank you, Crispus.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Because the British soldiers at that time was colorblind. They can only see, like, that one color. Like, wait, there's somebody dark.
Right.
Get that dark one. Yes.
Crispus Attucks, first mm-hmm. one to die. Mm-hmm. You know.
Who else?
If you're lucky.
George Washington
you
Carver.
You get George Washington. Yeah, George Washington Carver. Because George Washington Carver is innocuous.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's the peanut man.
Right, he's just smart Negro decided to do something with some peanuts.
For real, yeah.
Okay, Harriet Tubman. Always. If you're lucky,
if you're lucky,
you'll get the full story on Harriet Tubman.
Yeah, the full story,
not just a couple motherfuckers get away.
Cause I shit you not. For when I was in high school, I heard about Harriet Tubman, the Underground Railroad.
Mm.
I thought it was really some shit underground.
Well, yeah, because nobody actually explained the Underground Railroad.
They don't explain that.
Right.
They just explained there's Underground Railroad that slaves ran through. It's like, shit, they had trains back then.
I can't even get it out of my mouth to say this.
Uh-huh.
So, who wants to be a millionaire?
Yeah.
About a month ago, I'm sitting at home.
Oh, right? Lord.
And the question comes up.
Right.
The scarf that Harriet Tubman wears in all of those photos.
Yeah.
Who gave that to her?
Wow.
I remember who it was they said it was.
Yeah.
I forget the other names. It was Queen Victoria.
Holy shit.
Yes. That's what I say. Because I'm like, I have never heard that story. Why am I finding this out on a game show? Why was this not, like,
part of, like, just American history?
Mm-hmm.
American history.
I mean, mm-hmm. Even when we go through it, when we talk about the civil rights movement, mm-hmm. the only person we really talk about is King.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you might hear Malcolm whispered in the darkness,
right.
But we never learn about Abernathy. We never learn about John Lewis, who is now a senator.
How about that?
The only thing we know about Jesse Jackson was he tried to run for vice president.
Yeah.
And
again, if you lucky, you might get Shirley Chisholm.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you're lucky.
Hold on. I'm one of them dudes in that generation when Biz Markie put her in a rap. Remember?
Yeah.
Reagan was the president. I voted for Shirley Chisholm.
Yeah.
I went looking out for, like, who the fuck is Shirley Chisholm?
Right.
I went looking for that. Yeah.
Because your damn history teacher didn't tell you.
Cesar Chavez.
Hey.
Every working person should know about that.
Should know.
Jesus.
Should know.
I mean, you know what? I think it's part of that twofold I'm sorry. You know, one of the cons about being an American and American is that you're pushed, programmed, taught to be where the money is always.
Yeah, because it's never about capitalist sector.
Right, right. It's never about the production per se, but the cat's selling it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're gonna talk about the guys who have to work them fields to get you them oranges.
No.
Who are people who assembled, who had to shave off them wood, them pieces of wood over at Home Depot, or construct or create the chemicals for the paint,
mm-hmm.
or even build up that switch knife multi tool you got, right?
Shit.
Who are the cats who have to actually assemble that shit? Mm-hmm. If there isn't, or let's say there anybody, nobody's doing it. It's all mechanical. Mm-hmm. It's all, you know, mechanized.
Right.
But who are the people who have to maintain an engineer to maintain those machines? Who are the people at the floor? Mm-hmm. And once again at the wire. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They don't care about the speaking. Like we can't do the street rips. Fuck the little kids selling. We gotta try to get them. We gotta get the ones above them. We gotta keep it up because not the workers because mm-hmm. they just and they show you them kids working. They really get treated like they workers.
Mm-hmm. But even right. like what you said before, you know, when we hear about the history of the railroad. We don't hear about all that other stuff.
No.
That go on, you know, this guy came up with a vision, and he saw his vision come to fruition. He took his money. And
right, yeah.
And he got his buddies, and they
built this
railroad. You don't hear about
You don't get and, that hero's
and,
journey.
And the only hero out of that entire story I remember, John Henry.
Oh,
shit.
You know that one story.
That one story.
You know he had a whole bunch of stories.
Little bullshit poem.
Right.
Lord have mercy.
With John, even with sports,
shit.
You know, the only thing, and I have to say this, I did not know there was a Negro League. Never knew there was one, because the only person I ever heard about in baseball of color breaking a barrier was
Jackie Robinson.
But I didn't know that there was a league.
Like a Satchel Paige.
But even in college, we weren't taught that.
We weren't taught that. No. Oh, dude.
No, you had to find that shit on your own.
You had to stumble over a rock.
Funny story. I remember finding out about this shit when House of Nubian in the Village.
Mm.
Oh, yes.
They had the time when they started selling Negro League
memorabilia. The shirts.
The shirts and the caps. And baseball hats.
Mm-hmm.
And right after I remember seeing that come out, I bought one of the, like, a Crawford Reds or something like that.
Right.
HBO did the thing on the Negro League.
Yes. Yes.
Del Orlando.
Yes, that was good.
That was good. Remember that.
That was good.
That was good.
McIntyre Williamson.
Right.
Josh Gibson.
Yes.
And that, as a matter of fact. That was good.
Del Orlando played
Satchel.
Satchel Paige.
He played Satchel.
And that's the, I guess, dude.
But I do you one better. When I was growing up, we had a family friend. His name was Owen Haig.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Owen, I used to always love Owen because Owen always had a funny joke, this and the other. Lived very well,
right.
But no one ever told me I was always wondering what did he do for work? You know, this and the other thing. He was a consultant and he did all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When he died, his obituary. My mother sends it to me. He was a Tuskegee Airman.
Whoa.
He said nothing to us. My mother's like, oh, yeah, we knew that. What? How do you not tell somebody that?
And you know what? And the problem is, and that's the other half of the problem.
Like, we don't...
I know we went off from something else, but that's the other half. When black folks, you know, the older generation, I know you might be upset about shit.
Well,
you're upset that things ain't work out the way you were hoping they worked out,
mm-hmm.
but you still have to talk to your kids about it. You still, there's no reason. Look, my mom, back to that story about, you know, the talk.
Mm-hmm.
I never had to talk.
Mm.
I'm from Trinidad. Mm. So my parents grew up with a different kind of ideology, uh-huh. you know.
Sure.
They had their own independence. They had black cops. My dad was a cop in Trinidad.
Wow. Okay.
But he never talked to me about really why he did not want to be a cop. When you moved to New York,
mm-hmm.
instead he worked for Con Edison instead.
Mm.
And the thing is, when he came to America, I wonder, really, stop thinking that you're protecting us. And I say this to parents in terms of their children.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Stop trying to protect your children. Talk to them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
You know,
I know you. You know, you don't want them to grow up with this.
Absolutely,
this thing. But right. but it's there, and mm-hmm. we have to admit it. We have to just realize it's a part of our history.
Yeah,
and this and not talking about it
because you're gonna find out the hard way.
Right, like 30 years down the line, there's a fucking statue of Trump because nobody wanted to talk about how fucked up he really was. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, and I don't know for sure. I might be speculating. Forgive me if I am. You listeners, if you want to do the double check on this, feel free. I wonder how many Robert E. Lee statues were put up during the Jim Crow era.
Well, quite a few.
During the lynching era. During the civil rights era.
They're probably hanging motherfuckers from the damn statue.
Right. Mm-hmm. But not right after Civil War. But right after Civil War. Not after Reconstruction.
No, it was during the... I know there was one put in...
during Jim Crow Reconstruction.
Down in New Orleans.
When?
It's
Reconstruction, I think, or Jim
Crow? The 1900s.
Yes. Jim Crow.
Jim Crow.
Not Reconstruction.
So, mm-mm.
That was that point. Reconstruction was the point where motherfuckers is like, you know what? Let's get to work. Mañana.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Nah, but, yeah.
But I'm just saying. But people didn't want to talk about it no more. So they kept that shit quiet. Mm-hmm. Next you know, you got a bunch of... You got the Dukes of Hazzard.
But that's why...
And a bunch of flags going up.
That's why you have what happened on Saturday.
Yes. And that's why you have
that generation that's fighting now
mm-hmm.
never heard the stories about the fight before. We grew up on Eyes on the Prize.
Mm. Yes.
We grew up watching that.
Yes.
We grew up with a very, very linear view of what happened.
The narrative. The real narrative.
Which is probably why now some of this doesn't phase us.
Right.
Because we've seen it before. Maybe not have experienced it to such a degree.
Mm-hmm.
But there's that whole generation after us.
That gets none
that,
of it.
That
got none of it.
You're right.
Went from
playing high school basketball.
Yeah.
To suddenly being the star of the NBA.
Right.
Without ever having to go to school or do any education. And all of a sudden, oh, it's about paper. It's about money. It's about having all of these things.
Yeah.
But you never had to sacrifice anything
for it.
Not in the sense of blood.
Right. No. Not blood.
And what happened Saturday, man. And that guy running over Heather
mm-hmm.
and running over those people.
Yes.
Even looking at the shocked look on their faces,
the screams.
People are like,
the screams.
People are like, I can't believe that. And the question I then ask is like, what did you think you were dealing with?
Yeah.
The mouth of hell opened, mm-hmm. and these things walked out.
Right.
And the only thing they were concerned with, let me put it this way, don't fucking tell me you came for a peaceful march carrying a bat. Mm-hmm. Strapped with guns, shields,
right,
flagpoles with spearheads on them. Don't tell me you came to speak peacefully.
Because
peaceful rallies, you ain't seen nobody do that when they went down to D.C. to bitch about the president.
No.
When he became elected, nobody was carrying weaponized like that.
Dude, a lot of those dudes had on more shit than I put on when I get on a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's too hot for me to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I don't need this. I'll be fine. You know, those motherfuckers went out strapped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they know they was wrong.
Yeah.
And they know that the wrong shit they're doing is so vile that somebody want to punch them in their mouth.
Yeah.
They know that shit.
Yeah.
They know they're not on the right. They're not on the right side.
But that's exactly how Trump did what he did.
Yeah.
Because he said, and that's that mentality where it's like, I know, listen, there is an unspoken code of ethics.
Mm-hmm.
Even when you're a politician.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's shit you just don't say, and there's shit you just don't do.
Yes.
When you yourself have no respect for that code of ethics,
right,
and you get up there, your name call, your badger, your bad mouth, and you're trying to be that turn the other cheek, I'm not going to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And fall. John Kasich is a perfect example of that. John Kasich would stand up there and try and talk about the issue that the question came to him on.
Yeah.
This fool is over there calling him names, and he's steady like, yeah, but, you know, let's talk about infrastructure. Let's talk about this, you know, cracked up John, cracked up Kasich. And he ignored all that shit, and people, oh, you weak because you didn't fight back.
Yeah.
Fight back for what? He's been calling me names. He hadn't said one viable thing.
Yeah.
Yet all of y'all are yelling at me because you want to see me get into a fight with him and lose.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no point in that. And so basically, they know all we got to do is just keep spewing stuff, because one of y'all going to lose your minds and swing at me.
Right.
And the moment you hit me, that's when
you can start
all of my people jump on you. Right. And they're like, oh, well, you know, we were. And that's why you got a fool standing up there talking about there was violence on both sides, on right. many sides.
Well, first thing we got to do, I guess, is we have to start picking presidents in a way that doesn't mimic how we pick presidents in sixth grade.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay, that, yeah. First of all, the motherfucker that's the loudest.
Yeah,
right.
He
right.
gets to be class president.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not how that should be. But again, going to failing of the educational system, failing of, and you can't say this is everybody, but clearly between people not knowing the actual history of the country,
yeah,
and then people not properly preparing their children.
Right.
Like, and you know, as middle-aged brothers,
mm-hmm.
we're in a weird spot because you talk to your parents, like, I get a little of this, you know, you talk to your parents, you see how your parents react to how you do things.
Yeah.
And see, they've got, in their mind, I feel like the generation before us, just before us, they've kind of got like Cab Calloway and Duke Ellington and right. Thurgood Marshall and all mm-hmm. those dudes in the back of their minds when you walk up and they're like, well, did you wear that to work? You know, and then you get that conversation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you go out on the subway, and, you know, you have a child. You and I don't have kids.
Right.
But you get on the subway, and you see these young brothers with their pants hanging off their ass, you know.
Like Lil Wayne.
Like Lil Wayne. And like, they, you know, everybody wants to be dressed like a rapper, but, you know, there's only a few of us that are actually signed rappers, and even fewer of them that aren't into hawk with the fucking label. A completely different conversation.
Yeah. Right.
But it's valid because, you know, it's like, and I think the 90s were a very deceptive time.
Yes.
Okay.
Because the 90s is what I think led a lot of motherfuckers into complacency.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because they saw Diddy, and they saw, you know, and they saw the Biggie Tupac thing happen, right. and they saw all these cats making all this money, right. getting all these girls and cars, and I'm on a boat, motherfucker, and all this other shit.
Yeah.
And, yo, that's all everybody wants to aspire to. And the thing is, it's like, I want to roll up on some kids on the subway and tell them pick their pants up and do and you know, shut up, and right. nobody wants to hear all this. We trying to go to work and all that other shit, but I ain't trying to get stabbed.
Right.
Back in the day, back in our parents' day, you could roll up on a kid and correct them if they were in the street acting up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who's your mama? Well, who's your mama? Well, we gonna go over here to Gates Avenue real quick, and we gonna talk to your mama, right. because this is some bullshit right here.
Right.
Well, you know.
I wonder if
we can't self-correct. We have lost the ability to self-correct.
I don't know if it's a losing of the ability, but it's maybe it is a losing ability. Environment. Evolution.
Absolutely. Right? All right.
You evolve, you know, you change and evolve according to the environment you're now living in.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
These kids now, their parents lived during the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Our parents lived in through the 60s.
Yeah.
The 70s.
Yeah.
We grew up in the 80s and 90s. Let's be honest,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of, like we were talking about before, a lot of you people that you know,
mm-hmm.
they either in the cemetery,
mm-hmm.
or they fucked up someplace else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? These are the kids are growing up from an environment that to survive had to change shit up.
Yeah,
true. Right? And but the byproduct of that is what you get now, mm-hmm. kind of like this apathy of anything of from before.
Right.
Anything that came before you, you have to have an apathy for it or a total dismissal of it.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine that is just part of what it took to survive being a child of a mother or not knowing who your father is or having an uncle and aunt who were part of that crack at the who got caught up in that crack epidemic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you know, and then having a child after that and seeing how that child responds to that crack at that grandparent who grew up in that crack epidemic. Mm-hmm. And you're the child growing up, you see how that is, and you see how that your mom had to dismiss that sister or that grandparent because they still on some shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And as a child, you're growing up going like this, when mom does that shit, she has to survive. You know, it might be a valid, whatchamacallit. It's a valid thing.
It's a valid mechanism.
Right? So, all I'm saying today is, you know, it's all transitional, man. It's change and shit. It's transitional. Mm-hmm.
Like I mean, right things, now, things are always going to change, but...
Not always change, but I mean, there's a cycle of...
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? There's going to be a point where, you know, this shit ain't going to last. I'm not talking about just Trump, because, you know, that ain't going to be dead. But I'm talking about just in terms of the environment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you know, after this Trump situation, how does the government change? How do the elected officials... change?
Well,
how does the people who have to vote for these elected officials, what will they do? Because, we, you know, let's be honest, after Obama, you kind of saw the writing on the wall. Mm-hmm. When Obama was in office, people were so angry, they didn't give a fuck whether the government burnt down or not. All of a sudden, we got Tea Party and motherfuckers who no longer trust in the government
mm-hmm.
because they hired, because Obama got in office. Mm-hmm. Y'all wasn't acting like that when Bush was in office. Where the fuck was the Tea Party when Bush was in office? Nowhere.
Well, because, you know what, the thing is this. The things that were going on didn't directly affect them.
The only thing that directly affected them was that their view of black was challenged by an intelligent person in the White House, who so happened to be African American. That's what blew their minds to the point where they're ready to go fucking total anarchy all of a sudden. And then you get Trump.
Well, Trump is a byproduct.
Yes, no, Trump is a byproduct.
He's a pure byproduct.
Equals Trump. So what happens now after Trump?
Okay,
well, you know what? The guy on the Republican strategist that I saw on Vice the other night
mm-hmm.
made a hell of an analogy, and it's sort of spooky. And he said, the Roman Empire didn't survive it.
Yeah.
The British Empire didn't survive it. The German Empire didn't survive it. And at the rate we're going, we're not going to survive this. It's going to be a total collapse of things.
Good.
Because
we're not supposed to be an empire.
Well, no. But once you get to that point,
mm-hmm.
once we get to that point,
right?
There's one hell of a problem on our hands, because the world during the Civil War was a completely different world than it is now.
Yes, it is.
And the world is watching this. This isn't some king sitting on a throne in Britain or somewhere. Or smaller countries just sitting there going, well, let's see what happens when the dust settles.
This is not an isolated thing at all.
No.
We're talking about other superpowers that are watching this
mm-hmm.
who may have a legitimate fear of what happens after this. You have countries closing down borders because at some point, you know what? We could end up in a world where it's like, no Muslims and no Americans allowed.
Mm.
We don't want you here. Right. Because we don't want that, whatever that shit was that y'all just did, we don't want it affecting or intoxicating our world.
Right.
And I mean, this is how the science fiction dystopian society, this is how these things come about when we talk about it. I don't know. The thing is this. Trump is going to quit. They're gonna give him an ultimatum. And the person he is, what he's going to do, and I swear to God, if he does it word for word, I'm gonna sit up in my apartment laughing my ass off at how correct this is. But he's gonna get up there and he's gonna go, you know what I've decided? I'm stepping down. Because you see, I tried to help this country and nobody listens. Nobody listens. You know, it's you're tearing down statues. You don't want to protect your borders because you don't want the wall. You know, and it's true. And I was in California, and they're good people. Those people in California, they are good people. I like them. But they didn't even welcome me. They didn't want me there. So I've decided that I'm gonna leave the government the way it is because it was a mess. It's a huge mess.
And I believe it when I came.
It was a huge mess when I came in. And Barack Obama, he left it this way when he walked left. So I'm just going to leave it the way it is. And I'm just going to wish you all good luck.
Oh, shit.
And, yeah, goodbye. They're not going to get a chance to impeach him because he's going to turn around and blame everybody for the reason why this is. The reason why you don't want that man killed is because he becomes a martyr.
A martyr for fuckery.
Trust me. You don't
but
want...
But you know, you're right. You're right, Mark. You're absolutely right.
Those people having a martyr. Because that will
ramp up the shit they're doing now.
That will create hundreds of Dylan Roofs. What that will do. That is what that will do.
And we are now at a point in this time. It's not just black folks. It's not just Jews.
Nope.
We're talking about everybody who makes up and encompasses this country, who is an immigrant, mm-hmm. or have any kind of... If you are an immigrant and you don't think that this is going to somehow roll over onto you, you got another thing coming.
Well, and also included in that number are the Caucasians who are married to people of color and have their biracial child. That they are probably like in tears and losing sleep over every time that biracial child jumps up and says, I'm going to go to a party tonight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Up all night trying to hold
up all night.
Hoping that.
Up all night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you know, and right there, that's a wake up call. That's a world that a lot of folks didn't realize they were in.
No. Mm-mm. I mean, I think a lot of people figure because now we're in a digital age with cameras on pretty much every street corner and can capture everything. That. Just because you capture it
means you can
fix the problem.
Right. No.
The Rodney King incident, and I always go back to this, because it's probably not the first videotape situation, but the first videotape to go global.
Yes.
Watching what happened to him being beaten in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Something brothers have been saying for years. This happens to me. I can't go out with my friends because these cops do this or this, that, the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we were shocked as a nation then. I mean, even some of us were shocked. Like, wow, really? Somebody actually caught that?
Yeah,
I think it was really. It was more like who was able to catch that with that big old camera on your shoulder and they didn't see you? But now it's almost as if we become immune to it. It's like, people are getting shot on camera by the police. You go into court, and they're like, look, the dude has nothing in his hands. He's standing there, hands up, bow, the cop just shot him. Yeah. Yeah, but But we can't indict him on murder.
And here it is. We got a young lady in Texas.
Yeah. Oh.
That damn near 11 raped.
Minutes of cavity search.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck?
But here we are. It doesn't matter whether or not we have that proof. So you got the proof of that. That's great. I'm glad you got that proof. But it means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. And you know, I was thinking about Trayvon the other day,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that what happened to him should have never happened.
Absolutely.
No.
But the simple fact that there's a state in this country that's got a law that allows that to happen. And the thing is, all I keep hearing in my head is you're in court.
Mm-hmm.
And there's your son's killer sitting across from you. The prosecutor's grilling this guy, and the defense attorney, all he has to do is turn to the judge and go, but there's a law in the books. Doesn't matter. The sister who got arrested for pulling the statue down.
Mm. Yeah.
I was reading an article today where a brother was mad because they didn't catch the five guys that beat up that brother during the riot.
Yeah.
Okay. In the parking garage.
Yeah.
Right.
But they slapped the cuffs on this chick.
For taking out
the statue.
And
he's like, you know, we should be outraged. Here's the problem. There's a law about vandalism. Whether you like it or not, whether you agree with it or not, the bottom line is they put the cuffs on her, not because free speech, not because of that, because you know what? You wasn't supposed to do that.
My solution with the whole thing with statues and shit is, you know, okay, vandalism. No, let's not do that. Let these silly motherfuckers take the statues home. Let them take the fucking statue home. That way you make a nice little shrine to Robert E. Lee or Stonewall Jackson or whoever the fuck, and you can stay your racist ass home and not bother us.
Or we could do the Indiana Jones thing.
Throw that shit
up. Trick them into opening up the Ark of the Covenant and then they all just electrify themselves.
I was about to say,
stick them in a warehouse.
It belongs in a museum. Just stick it.
And no, I believe.
Build a big old building. Slide them in there.
Right.
You know, and then just make the Hall of Confederates. You know, and, you know.
Confederate traitorous motherfuckers. And slave owners. Free mint juleps on Wednesday.
How about a compromise?
Here's a compromise.
You keep your Confederate statues, but right next to those statues, maybe 5 feet, 5 blocks down, I want Marcus Garvey. I want that brother, the black Israelite who bought on 42nd Street.
Oh, shit.
Talking that shit. I want his statue up right there, too.
Hey, not for nothing. Not for nothing.
Real, not for nothing. Yeah.
That dude that you talking about?
Yeah.
I was at it because I was working it right there at MTV when those dudes used to be out there.
Yeah.
I'm walking with this one white girl one day,
man.
And she was like, I used to date him.
Stop! See? Go! You just
was
a statue.
Out!
Statue.
I was out!
Statue.
That's right. Like, really? You used to...
So man. The next time...
Khalid Muhammad?
Yeah.
So the next time we got a... I went on Wikipedia to look up Khalid Muhammad.
Khalid Muhammad.
Oh, and I found out some stuff.
Oh, yeah, shit.
Give him a statue. Screw that, man.
Now, I don't know if he needs a statue.
No, wait. We got Stonewall Jack. Andrew Jackson got a statue. If Andrew Jackson get a statue, Khalid Muhammad should get a statue. But this, every questionable white father figure, for lack of a better term, that gets a statue, because he does some questionable shit, and the questionable shit leads to somebody getting killed. We have that in the black community, too.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody gets killed though. You know why? Because black folks don't pay attention to the motherfuckers.
Mm.
Right? Mm. They can talk these shit all they want, but we're like this. Man, that nigga crazy. Right? White folks don't do that to their own. They like, they're like, oh, that honky crazy. They don't say that. They were like this. We should give that motherfucker a statue. No! That's a, you know, and you know what that is? That's called equality. You have some questionable niggas on your race, give them a statue. I want that Indian dude who talks about killing all British people. I want him to get a statue.
Captain Nemo?
There you go.
Oh shit.
Captain Nemo should have a statue.
Damn, I thought he meant a Native American. I didn't know you meant Captain Nemo.
Captain Nemo statue. I want to see that shit in Carolina.
Nemo.
I know. I went there.
I'll just be sitting in the park looking at like racist people. What is this about? We have Captain Nemo with the turban and the scimitar hanging out with the beard. Man, what? I'd be like this. You can't take that down. That's a natural hero.
There's the Nautilus right there.
Right. That's part of our invention. That's our history. That's the first submarine made by an American citizen.
Somebody please.
I'm just saying. We have questionable motherfuckers of every kind of race. Only white folks give them motherfucking statues. Everybody else is like this. No.
That but you know what's funny? Some of them cats didn't even want a statue. Yes, that's even Robert the funny Lee, part. Right? It's like, I didn't ask for you to put me in marble. I don't.
Exactly.
Y'all could have used that iron for... We built you a statue. You know we could have used that for cannonballs, right?
Right. America, you got a race problem. Y'all need to figure that shit out.
Not for nothing. You know it's a great statue? That Batman statue at the end of Dark Knight Rises, that's a hot statue, son. I love that fucking statue. That statue is the shit.
About statues now.
I don't give a fuck.
We're going to really go to statues. The Argonaut from Lord of the Rings.
Ooh, okay.
Y'all want that? I want that. Right by the Brooklyn Bridge. That. Put them niggas right by the Brooklyn Bridge.
That would be hot.
I don't need to come home every day and see that on my way into Brooklyn. Man.
Well, not unless I was on a horse. We got three minutes. Say goodbyes.
Daenerys. Dragons. Tyrion. How can we see the dragons?
Hold on. Save it for the next show.
Save it for the next show.
Social media, fellas. Hit it.
Hey, I'm on Twitter. Kirk Johnson at Arntura. You catch me there. Arntura, A-R-N-T-O-U-R-A. That's my Twitter handle. Check me on Facebook, Kirk Johnson also. You'll know me. You'll see that dude from the corner of the picture with a big-ass Conan shield in the background. That's me.
Nice.
And my website, I have a webpage, blog site, Two Lands Far Field. Please feel free to come on down, drop me a like, drop me something. I haven't written anything in a while, but, you know, if I hear from you, maybe I will.
Well, you can find me at my website, whoismarklabbott.com. You can also find me there at whoismarklabbott, both on Twitter and on Facebook. I will, by the time you guys hear this one, I will have already performed in a storytelling festival this Friday.
Yes.
That I have coming. One final note to everybody on Monday, wherever you are, when the eclipse happens, if you hear a funny sound and a strange plant shows up in your yard, don't feed it.
Wow. Nice. Wait, I got one more thing to say. Hold on, real quick. Ladies and gentlemen, also Saturday, I will be at the Renaissance Festival up in Tuxedo, New York. Ren Faire, that's the Saturday 19th. You know what? I'll be that cat. I'll be the only African dude dressed in a blue robe and a sword. You'll probably see me. You'll probably notice I'm the only one doing that.
And he'll have his own theme music,
yes,
ladies and gentlemen.
Because every good hero is
Nah, man. Yeah, I got good Fela. I got some Fela theme music coming on.
Oh, that would be dope. Yeah. All right. Stephen Van Patten, Facebook, all kinds of stuff like that. SVP Thinks, Instagram and Twitter. And I wrote some books. Check them out. All right, we are
Your Green Light Books. You're in Green Light.
Oh yeah, that's right. I'm in Green Light Books, 632 Flatbush Avenue.
Read this shit.
Thank you, Kirk. Appreciate that. No, you just scared the hell out of everybody and made him deaf. All right.
Yes.
And the website, www.laughingblackvampire.com. Folks, we are out of time. We love you. We mean it. Next show, you know, maybe we'll actually talk about, you know, real spooky shit. But for right now, big up to our friends at Scream Radio, and we are out.
Yo.
Yeah.